everybody, Rachel Varga here, the beauty side of Beauty and the Biohacker, and I warmly invite you to check out Working with Katie and I. You can go to beautyandthebiohacker.com, where you can find our book one-on-one links with either Katie and I. Katie can help you with optimizing your sleep through biohacking modalities, and I can help you with optimizing your at-home and in-clinic skin and rejuvenation journey with skincare, biohacking, dermal rolling, and all of that cool stuff. Be sure to also check out our favorites page, where you can find our shortlist of our top biohacking and supplement picks to help you slow your aging on a cellular level. And be sure to use those affiliate links to continue to support the show here and use the promo codes to save yourself some money. Enjoy today's episode. Welcome to Beauty and the Biohacker, where we explore the latest tools and trends in self-care, aesthetics, and peak performance to help you live your most beautiful life from the inside out. I'm your co-host, Rachel Varga, a board-certified aesthetic nurse specialist since 2011 with over 19,000 rejuvenation treatments performed on thousands of patients.
And I'm Katie Moore, a self-proclaimed biohacker with 3 years of self-experimenting in the space of health and wellness technology. I'm on a mission to help you achieve success without sacrificing your health or happiness through my YouTube channel, Katie Type A.
So join us as we sit down with some of the biggest innovators in the health space, the movers and shakers of the wellness world,
and unpack some of the biggest secrets in the skincare and longevity space. We are Beauty and the Biohacker, and we're thrilled to have you along for the ride.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's episode on the Beauty and the Biohacker podcast. We have an exciting show in store for you both, for everybody tuning in here, as Katie and I will be sharing our biome health intelligence results and recommendations. Let's tell you a little bit about who we're interviewing today. We have Dr. Grant Antoine, who's a naturopathic doctor who's passionate about patient empowerment and patient education. In clinical practice, he utilizes the unique blend of applied science and medical art found only in modern naturopathic medicine. His areas of interest include preventative medicine, cardiovascular health, endocrine and metabolic disorders, environmental medicine, and neurocognitive health. Dr. Antoine has brought the same passion to Viome, where he is involved in clinical trial design and the development of nutritional and supplement interventions for Viome's user recommendations and efficacy studies. At Viome, he feels the marriage of technology systems, biology, and the human microbiome provides individuals an unprecedented resource of practical and actionable health insights. The accessibility of Viome's platform also provides the means to impact the health of many more individuals than could ever be possible through traditional in-clinic services. Dr. Antoine received his Bachelor's of Science in Cellular and Molecular Biology from the University of Texas at Dallas and later attended Bachelor University of California, where he earned his Doctor of Naturopathic Medicine degree. After med school, he attended residency in integrative primary care at the Susan Samuel Integrative Health Institute at the University of California, Irvine School of Medicine. Dr. Antoine is near completion of the Institute of Functional Medicine Practitioner Certification and is an active member of multiple medical associations, including the American Association of Naturopathic Doctors, the Institute for Functional Medicine, and the Academy of Integrative Health and Medicine. Hillary is our second guest that we're having on here, which is really exciting. She brings the super nerdy stuff to the conversation. Hillary is a biochemist. We're going to have lots of fun because I've taken biochem as well. I love this. We're going to nerd out here. Hillary is a biochemist turned biohacker. Her passion for wellness extends beyond hacking her own health to using AI to improve the health of thousands. As a clinical nutritionist at Viome, she has worked to train the AI platform to make precision nutrition recommendations. She believes that Viome's precision nutrient program can truly show the progression of disease and someday make illness even obsolete. We've had Naveen Jain on the show here before, and he's even said that too. It's like illness is optional. And she is an avid yoga practitioner, snowboarder, food lover, and at-home fermentation enthusiast. This is going to be a really fun episode, but maybe before we bring Grant and Hillary on, Katie, what was it like taking the health intelligence test kit for you?
Well, first of all, I am so intimidated by those resumes.
I know, right?
My God, that was a lot. But in all like honesty, I have been doing Viome for, I want to say like 3 years. I discovered it at the biohacking conference a couple of years ago. And that was when they only had the gut test. So it was a, you know, straightforward stool sample. I'm going to spare you guys the TMI details, but you can imagine what a stool sample is like. That was great. Got a lot of insights from that. And then they did this health intelligence test, which involves, you know, a blood prick, like really not a ton of blood, like you would have to do at a lab. Like you actually can do administer this at home safely. And then you send that away and you get so many more scores as it all relates to some of your like more long-term biological markers, things that I was actually shocked to find out, like, oh, I really should probably improve that area somehow. And so I am excited to dive into all of that. And yeah, I've had a great experience with it. Super, super easy. It's amazing where we've come with technology these days. Like you can literally get all these different biomarkers, you know, delivered right to you through an app, through, you know, like what seems to be a 5-minute test, you know, give or take the bathroom part.
Yeah, it's great. I had actually my hubby and I, my hubby's a pro athlete. So I'm always looking for ways to reduce his inflammation. Mm-hmm. I'm keenly interested in how I can actually age better. And we're going to be doing my biological age versus chronological age reveal in this episode. Y'all know we've been building up to this and I cannot wait to share this with you. I actually did an Instagram reel at Rachel Varga Official of me actually kind of like doing the test and showing how easy it is with a stool sample. You just collect like a little scoop of your stool, no big deal, put it in a container, shake it up. And then with the blood sample, you prick your finger, squeeze it into a little vial. No big deal. It's really easy. I would agree with you that it is easier to get a blood sample from the comfort of your own home when it's convenient, mm-hmm. than having to go to a lab or have a phlebotomist come to your home. And it's really great. It's the 2-in-1. Same with you. Before I did the gut intelligence test, mm-hmm. that really helped me isolate better foods for skin, for reducing inflammation. And then next, this second time, yes, the health intelligence test kit, looking at different markers too. So we're going to be comparing. And what we did, Katie, is what's called retesting. And mm-hmm. this is something that I encourage everybody to do before we bring Grant and Hillary on. Just a reminder, we do have a special promo code BNB that's going to help you save on your next health intelligence test kit. And you can always learn more about this episode at beautyandthebiohacker.com/blog. Oh my goodness. I am so excited to be bringing Dr. Grant Antoine, naturopathic physician, and Hillary Kaiser, clinical nutritionist in the house. How are you both today?
Hey guys, doing great. Hey Katie. Hey Rachel.
Hey. Doing fantastic. It's so great to see you guys. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, we're stoked. Also a little nervous to go over my results in public with people, but I guess that's what we signed up for, right?
I'm sure they're great.
Grant, why don't you share with us maybe, and then I can't wait to go through Katie's results here, but what are some of the common signs that maybe taking a health intelligence test kit like this could be helpful for food and aging optimization?
Oh gosh, where to start? We've known for a long time, at least in traditional and functional medicine, that the gut really is kind of the epicenter of our health universe, right? It's so interconnected to the brain, to our immune system. So it's really not a surprise that there's a broad range of signs or symptoms or experiences that might bring you to come test. I think some of the more common, obviously, are going to be digestive, common gas, bloating, diarrhea, constipation, heartburn, some folks might think about. But then also common conditions like acne, eczema, psoriasis, really an immune-mediated response, right, with the skin, cognitive function, mitochondrial function, right? All of these, the gut and the gut microbiome play a primary role in influencing.
Yeah, that was actually one of the reasons why I initially came to Viome in the first place, was like I was dealing with all of this brain fog that just seemed seemingly untreatable through a slew of nootropics. And I was like, okay, well, I got to figure out what's going on here because I am in my late 20s and I don't understand why I should be feeling like this. And it turned out that I actually had a lot of inflammation in my gut. And then I later found out about the gut-brain axis and how it all is tied together. So yeah, I think it's really important to be self-aware and tuned into your body. And when something feels off and not typical, that's kind of the time to test because you should be testing before that because by the time you have the symptoms, it's like too late. Like you're already dealing with the issue. So that's something I certainly learned and is why I continue to retest every 6 months or so.
Exactly what you want to do, right? It starts with the gut.
Yeah. Speaking of which, I mean, I don't know if you guys want to take a look at my food recommendations, but I'd love to get your thoughts on kind of what's going on here. And I know for listeners on the kind of podcast format, if you're driving in the car, like you might want to check this out on the YouTube version after if you wanted to see the full recommendations. I highly advise if you are driving not to stop and look at my results. But let me go ahead and share my screen and then we can kind of go through a couple of things because I have some practical questions related to like my own diet and then how to incorporate the results to be most beneficial for me. So let's see if I can go ahead and share this. So what we should be seeing, there we go, are all of the foods. And I love how you guys break this out into a couple of different categories. So you have like your avoid section, then you have your minimize and the superfoods. So there's a lot of like options that you can, you know, filter through. So I, of course, I don't know why, maybe I'm a little cynical, but I love to look at the avoid stuff first. I'm like, okay, what do I have to not do? And what rules should I follow? But I mean, a lot of this is supposed to be taken with a grain of salt. And so I'm sure we can go through that. But for me, on my avoid list, there were a couple of things that actually really jumped out and surprised me. Mostly egg whites and egg yolk. And that is kind of the bread and butter of my diet. You know, I'm sort of a vegetarian / pescatarian. Don't do the red meat. I don't do poultry either. So this is the closest thing we're going to get. And maybe I've had maybe too many eggs, in my basket for too long. And so that was kind of surprising for me to see, though, because it is such a nutritionally dense source of protein that I like. And then the other thing was shrimp. So I don't eat a ton of it, but it is another source of, you know, shellfish protein, and that kind of fits within my pescatarian diets, and tuna as well. So you guys kind of left me like holding the bag on like, what do I eat? Like, is it just going to be protein shakes for the rest of my life?
No. Nothing's permanent with Viome, right? This is just a snapshot of your health at this point in time. Looking at your microbiome, looking at those transcripts. So nothing's permanent. I suspect with the egg whites, you know, eggs are great. Absolutely. Good, clean source of protein, but they're actually higher in sulfur containing amino acids like cysteine and methionine. And if you have a high sulfide gas production score, eggs are actually going to contribute to that sulfide gas production, which can lead to, you know, increased distension, bloating, just uncomfortability. So while we're trying to zoom in and target those scores and seek those improvements, that's why we give the avoid for the eggs.
Gotcha. That makes a lot of sense. And also is very much in line with kind of what I'm experiencing symptoms wise. Anyway, I am having a little bit of distension and bloating post meals. And even if it's not after, like directly after having eggs as a meal, I will sometimes get it, you know, a day or two later. So maybe that's also a sign that, you know, I need to back off on that. And I love what you said that it's not like these are not permanent. These are not like you can never, ever have a Brussels sprout again, because I would honestly, like, I don't know what I would do. But I mean, this makes a lot of sense. Like, this is also, you know, leading to sulfide gas production. So tell me what that actually means. Like, what is so wrong with sulfide gas production in your body? Like, is that not normal? Is it just, it's, you know, it's like I'm overproducing it right now? Just maybe walk me through like the why.
Yeah, it's not so much that it's abnormal, that it's, you know, deleterious to your health, but it can add to these symptoms that, you know, people commonly experience. You notice the bloating. If we're trying to resolve these issues, then we really want to zoom in. You know, traditionally, it would be like, oh, you know, go suck on a peppermint and you're done. But now that we're really analyzing on the molecular level, we can look down, hey, what are these microbes actually doing? We can see that activity. We can say, hey, they're feeding on these substrates and releasing this gas. Now we can get down to the nitty-gritty and influence that activity through the diet, through introducing new probiotics and prebiotics, you know, supplementation. But really, you know, it's a whole new kind of mind-blown concept that we can get in there and influence on the cellular level, the activity. But this is just temporary. We're going to address those symptoms, improve those scores, and we're going to move on. You know, diet should be dynamic. It should be diverse. I think any nutritionist worth their salt would say, hey, it's all about variety. It's about color. We want those polyphenols, those fibers. You don't want to continue to eat the same thing day in, day out, which is our human kind of nature, right? We kind of get stuck in this rut. We get in our fast-paced lives. We need to go to the fridge, grab what's convenient, what's easy, what we know, what the taste that we enjoy. So sometimes it's kind of hard to break out of that. So we get a lot of pushback with those avoids, like you mentioned, kind of like, hey, what am I going to have to do? But it's all going to be worth it. You're going to start feeling better, thinking more clearly, sleeping better. It's just the benefits just are fantastic, amazing.
I have a question. So I am going through my results. There have been a couple of things that are on this recommendation list to like either minimize or to eat more of that I've never even like put in my body ever, like gooseberry, for instance. I don't even know what that is. And it's on my minimize list. So I'm just so curious, like, how do you guys come up with this list of foods? And, you know, I know it's all algorithmic based and it's probably coming from a catalog that you guys have, but I'm just curious, like, you know, some of these things I've never heard of, some of them I definitely know I overeat, like almonds, but just kind of would love you to walk me through kind of the thought process behind that.
Sure. So we do sell our kits internationally. So we do try to make the food selection available to many different countries. So you may see some things that maybe aren't your local produce, but maybe people in Europe have at their common grocery store. So we really try to cater to a wide variety of people. But that being said, we do try to find those common foods here in the US. That's our main population, right? So we make sure we get those, like, yeah, you do have some different ones, currant, but garlic, I mean, everyone eats garlic, right? So, and that's a minimize for you, I'm guessing, because of that sulfide gas again.
Oh, probably, yeah. Mm-hmm. it was interesting, and it also kind of opened my eyes to how many things, like, especially on the superfood category, which obviously I don't even have clicked over open here, because I really just wanted to look at the things that I needed to minimize. But if we go look at my superfoods, there were actually quite a few things that I was pretty pleased by. Let's see if I can just quickly do this.
Here. It's so easy to go through your scores. If you're watching this on YouTube, like, this is how easy it is to navigate recommendations.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff.
Open it on your phone too. So you're at a restaurant and you're looking at the menu. What do I eat? Oh, let me check my Viome app. Is this one of my superfoods? Or actually, this is a void. I'll skip that entree.
I went out for a double date with Dave Asprey and his wife, my hubby.
Okay, show off.
Humble brag.
And then she's going to show us her biological age, and then we're all going to be super jealous.
But it's like, it's so nice because you can have this on your phone when you need to make food choices on the go. And it's just really interesting seeing how other people order foods. It's like requesting like literally a piece of steak on a plate with butter and salt and steaming vegetables, no toxic rancid oils and things like that. So it is super convenient to look at the stuff on your phone.
Let me ask you guys a very random question too, because I don't think I've ever looked or ever seen a like food test that doesn't say salmon is good for you. Is salmon, because salmon also appeared on my superfood list. Is there a case in which salmon, and I'm sorry to point like to like get very specific about this particular fatty fish, but I'm just curious because I feel like salmon is like it has this amazing kind of like you know, superfood category to pretty much anyone. Is, would you say that's the case based on, you don't have to, you know, go into too much detail, but I'm just curious, like out of all the people that do Viome, does anybody get like that as their avoid?
Actually, yeah.
No way.
As I'm delicious shocked. And nutritious as it is, yeah. So some individuals are predisposed. They create a lot of TMAO, which is an inflammatory molecule produced by the microbiome, right? The TMA. So if your TMA production is high, what this does, it's a very inflammatory molecule, leads to endothelial dysfunction, plaque buildup. It's really just bad juju for your heart health. So if we see that activity level is high, then yeah, we'll absolutely kind of slash some of these high carnitine. Sorry, I should back up. TMAO, TMA is produced from carnitine, which is higher in meats and especially salmon is pretty high. Red meat, right? Pork. Yeah. So definitely we would ask people to cut back on that and avoid those.
Gotcha. Thank you for demystifying that for me, because I've taken Viome a number of times and salmon always shows up on the thing I need to eat more of, which is a constant reminder, like, Katie, you should probably eat more of this. Cool. Well, that's kind of a little bit of a snapshot of my results. I'm going to stop sharing my screen, and then we want to take it away with Rachel. I'd love to see what's going on in your microbiome. That sounded like a commercial.
I thought that was really cool, Katie, what you mentioned about, you know, navigating recommendations and tips if you're following specific diets. So maybe while I bring up my scores, if you want to just add to that, because you're trying to do keto and all of that, I think this is a great thing to cover.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just kind of curious for, you know, the team at Viome, if somebody is going, you know, specific on a diet like ketogenic, but pescatarian, what kind of, you know, solutions do you offer if some of the food groups that they're used to eating that are maybe high in protein are now on their avoid list? Like, you know, how do you kind of parse through that? And what would you say the timeline is for how long I need to abstain from those food groups before I reintroduce those back?
Yeah, so great question. The best, you know, we're going to get there. Right now with our current dietary recommendations, the really only consideration, like special diet consideration, is vegetarian, vegan. There's actually a vegetarian toggle that you can hit. We'll automatically pull all those foods from our recommendations. We plan to get there. So you can come and say, hey, I'm doing paleo. Hey, I'm doing ketogenic. I'm doing Mediterranean, you know, whatever this diet is, there's the possibility of filtering. But, you know, when we step back and think about it, we're really trying to get away from these ideas of these fad diets and these diets that are one fit fits all mentality, and really get into the data and your specific pathways and your individual expression to give you the most specific and well-rounded diet for you to improve and really move the needle on your health. But as far as the time and the length that you should be avoiding, I don't want to step on your toes, Hillary, but usually the general recommendation is, you know, 4 to 6 months before retesting. Follow the recommendations, see how you feel. You know, it's kind of hard at first to make those adjustments, but, you know, once you get a rhythm and your pace going, it's really pretty easy. And then kind of check in, listen to your body, and then we retest. And you know, the majority of our users, our customers, they see improvements and that all those symptoms we were talking about before, whether it's cognitive, bloating, digestion. And then when they see those results, they see their improvements in their scores, they're living their best life, then, you know, all those little sacrifices they made up front, they really kind of get pushed to the wayside.
Yeah. And I might add, just, it takes time, like Grant said, to really make lasting changes to your microbiome. Like you said, 3 to 6 months. And then the other key really is just variety. So you may have some of your favorite foods on your avoid list, but if you check out your superfood, your enjoy food list, there should be a lot to choose from. So just try to switch it up and try some new things. There might, like you said, there's some new foods on there you haven't heard of. If you see them at the grocery store, give them a shot. And if you click on the food, there's often some preparation tips for how to cook it, or if it's an avoid food, there may be a food that you can swap it for. So definitely dig a little bit deeper into your foods and see what you can find.
All right. So let's go through some of my results and reveal my biological versus chronological age. Can you guys see my scores okay?
Yeah.
Perfect. So yeah, just let me know what, how to interpret, kind of like the interpreting your scores page, because we went through Katie's ideal foods, avoid foods, all of that. So yeah, where do we go from here to get a snapshot of what my results and scores are?
Well, let's see where I can. You scroll up for me? I part of the section is cut off. Yeah, here, excellent place to start. Let's look at your gut microbiome health. Can you open that tab, maybe click on the arrow? So first you're going to see your progress, Rachel. So you've done this test before, so you can see your previous score at a 38, and you've actually improved towards a 49, towards that, you know, that perfect ideal score of 100, right? The holy grail. This is improvement. We want you to track your progress over time. We don't want you to kind of zoom in too much on the number itself, but just more about the trend that you're seeing, right? Some folks will be like, oh, hey, I only went up 7 points. Like, what's the deal? I'm doing all this. It's more about the trend and where we're going and where we're trying to push you towards, right? Like Hillary just mentioned, you know, these things take time. The microbiome, you start developing that from birth, right? Really in the womb. When, you know, when we come out of our mamas, we're automatically being inoculated and we're on our way to developing our own microbiome through, you know, mother's milk, early diet. You know, it really starts from day one. So the fact that, you know, the microbiome is really a lifelong development, that, you know, it's going to take a little bit of time, but it's going to be well worth it. If we scroll down, you should see, so the gut microbiome score is a higher level score that these sub-level scores that you're seeing, the inflammatory, metabolic, fitness, digestive efficiency, these are all supporting scores for that higher, what we call a level 2 score. And you see these, you know, they're color-coded, so you can see those reds are going to be suboptimal, purples are going to be average, and greens are going to be good. Now, so it looks like you've improved in your gut microbiome health. I mean, I don't know. Maybe, can I ask, did you have symptoms before? Have you noticed improvements in your day-to-day? Does that correlate for you?
I would say yes, because I am avoiding certain foods, especially like kales and peppers and things like that. But I've also been playing around with different kinds of meats. So avoiding industrial meats, I still love my beef and stuff like that, but I have less and less chicken and actually eggs. But I've been having more actually game hunted elk and boar. And actually the night before I took this test, I had some boar sausage with actually a locally made bun and a Guinness. So just full transparency, I kind of wanted to see me having like gluten, having alcohol, what that actually would do to my score.
Yeah, scroll down. I think I saw that your protein fermentation was actually not optimal. I don't know if you're consuming a lot right there. Yeah. I don't know how much of the elk and bison and everything you're eating, but based off this score, you might want to consider reducing your intake.
Yeah.
Not just of the meats, but protein sources in general.
I was having a lot of protein leading up to this. I was actually feeling really good, but I did kind of notice I wasn't necessarily gut-wise feeling awesome, but mentally I was actually feeling really good. So it's kind of like, oh, you know, trying a little bit more of like a carnivore diet out. And this is just great to see that maybe it just isn't the best for me.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, that we're seeing that reflected. I wonder, can you click into the protein fermentation? I wonder if that's the same or better or worse.
It's a little bit better.
79, 10, 27, a little bit better. Yeah, interesting.
That's with gluten and a Guinness.
Rachel, like, you cheated. You're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to eat what you typically have every day. I literally was like, what is the cleanest thing I can possibly eat before I take this test?
Oh, it's real life. I'm just gonna live my life and take the test, as opposed to, oh my gosh, everyone's gonna see my results, I'm gonna eat super strict. It's like, no, this is real.
I love
life.
It I love the fact that you Guinness is in your repertoire. I'm like, awesome. If we could back up, let's look at those subscores again. I think I saw your digestive efficiency was also not optimal. I think that
same as before.
Yeah, not a lot of movement. And then back up again, because then I think I'm seeing several. So Scroll down to, I'm going to see if there's gases here. Gas production, suboptimal.
1 point less with my new test than last. So for me, I actually really do want to try the precision supplements, to be completely honest. So I'm really interested to, we're going to talk about the precision supplements and what that is and how it's made shortly here. But I do want to do it, and I want to retest and see what happens.
You know, I think just by really targeting that, you know, the digestive efficiency and protein fermentation would have a larger impact on these gas scores, right? Oftentimes when we're not digesting our foods completely, we leave a lot left over for the microbes. Then they can ferment, produce these gases that can lead to discomfort. That's where supplementation can really come in, because, you know, say, hey, this is my lifestyle, this is diet, I want to try the carnivore diet. You know, maybe I'm not as efficient at digesting that protein. I can go and still have those experiences and enjoy that diet, but with a little added support from supplementation, continue to move and then continue to see, you know, me improve upon those scores.
And I mean, to be totally honest, one of the reasons why I do eat this way is I hop in my Land Rover 3 hours into the bush, make a fire and have some food, right? So this is kind of what this is reflecting.
Yeah. I have a quick question for you guys. How much does stress, like chronic, you know, physical and mental stress, play as a role in these scores? I imagine there's probably some correlation. I don't know if you're able to, you know, actually delineate that, but I'm just kind of curious.
Yeah, no, we see in our data, we see correlations with stress, anxiety, mood, with poor digestive function, right? Poor motility, increased fermentation, the gases that we're looking at. We don't have a direct score per se that really monitors that. We do have our stress response score that really looks at the exposure, kind of like what our cells are seeing in terms of stress, oxidative stress, toxins, and then also the influence of our gut microbiome induced stress. So activity and inflammatory activity, kind of the putrescine levels, ammonia levels that are really inflammatory for that gut lining. So kind of a little different spin on kind of the stress you're talking about, but still, you know, a lot of insight. And what's interesting about this stress response health score is it's really a good ratio of looking, hey, what's the activity in my gut on the other side of this wall, right? Because we've got this thin tube and it's just one cell layer thick from the external world to our internal biological world, you know, what our cells are experiencing. How is that activity in the gut being experienced on the other side internally? So it's really this ratio. And what we'll find is often when there is maybe high microbiome induced stress or inflammatory activity, a lot of that can be self-contained, right? We look at gut lining scores, for example, and LPS activity, LPS production. All of this can be very inflammatory and lead to things like insulin resistance and endothelial dysfunction, heart disease. But if that cell wall that I was mentioning, the gut lining is well maintained, a lot of that activity can be contained within the gut, and you don't see the immune reactivity and stress response from the cells. So that's really kind of a call to action, right? It's like almost you have this time bomb in your gut. You know, at the moment, the current moment, it's not, you're not getting all those downstream effects that you might see if you didn't have a good, strong gut lining. So it buys you time to say, hey, you know, I recognize I've got these issues in my gut. I've got this increased inflammatory microbiome activity. What actions, what steps can I take to improve upon that? So it never becomes a downstream issue. And this is kind of that progression of chronic disease, right? Why is it that, you know, we live our lives for years and years and years with doing whatever, drinking that Guinness, you know, going to those campfires, and we have no issue with it. And then just one day, you know, we turn 50, whatever it is. And now we've got, you know, diabetes, heart disease, what have you, cancer. It's really these activities, these signals that are in the gut, that are in the cells, that, you know, kind of going undetected until now, that are kind of setting that course towards chronic disease. But now that we can detect them, we can, they're actionable. You know, knowledge is power, and we can really move the needle and kind of redirect ourselves towards a path towards health and healthy aging, right? So it's this idea of like your genes are your destiny, and we're all going to turn 50 and have some heart disease or cancer. It's we're really working to fight against that mentality.
That's fascinating. How often would you recommend people retest if they have a very kind of clear outlook on, I want to age gracefully, I don't want to deal with chronic issues? Would you say, because I know Naveen, who has been on the show before and is the founder, recommends every 3 to 6 months. And for me personally, like, I'm actually I'm moving again from Hawaii back to California, and I imagine that my microbiome is going to change pretty drastically in a short amount of time. So is it typical for 6 months to a year, or would you say even less for people who are going through big life changes?
Yeah, that's a good point. We actually do recommend, if people are going through a big life change, that might be a good time to break that 4 to 6 month cycle and test again. And we have some, you know, professional athletes, biohackers, that they want to test every month, and that's fine too. If that's in your budget, absolutely go for it. You're going to get some great feedback, and you can really fine tune your diet and your supplements that way. But for the average person, if you're not changing your lifestyle too much, 4 to 6 months is reasonable. That's a good testing period.
That makes a lot of sense. And, you know, I think it also must take some time for your microbiome to adjust to some of these new changes too. So yeah, as much as I would love to test like every day, I don't think that would be as effective, because I don't think the changes are going to actually take hold in that short amount of time either.
Right. Until we have that intravenous test that you can just wear around, we'll have to spread.
Are you
out.
Hinting that this is coming next year? No, just kidding.
I don't want to give anything away, but maybe one day.
Very cool.
Yeah, I have to say, Grant, I'm curious about this, some of the stress response and cellular stress. So I've been doing quite a bit of work with the atmosphere cell trainer at Upgrade Labs, and that's like literally stressing your cells out. And I actually feel like I had a pretty decent score with cellular stress. What is the score telling us?
Yeah, it's really good. It's telling us that your cells are resilient. You know, maybe if they are being stressed and they are being exposed to reactive oxygen species, toxins, but their defenses are good, they're resilient, and they're handling that stress, which is, that's life, right? We're not going to get away from toxins. You know, living in the city, I don't know if you guys are in LA, breathing in that fresh air that you get every day. It's just a fact. When you go to the gas, put fuel in your vehicle, you know, you breathe in that gasoline, you're smelling those fumes. By the time you smell it, it's already in your bloodstream. So there's no getting away from these exposures, right? This is just our life as we know it, you know, modern lifestyle. There's going to be emotional triggers, right? Stress, cortisol. But what we can kind of, you know, everyone back in the day, it would be, hey, you got to reduce your stress. You got to reduce, you know, there's no getting away from stress. It's more about this, hey, improving and supporting our stress resiliency, so that when we are faced with these pressures, these exposures, that we can handle them, we can move forward, resolve them, and, you know, we're on to the next one, right? Yeah, but that's what the score is telling you.
I was really happy to see this score, because I have been doing a lot of work mentally, psychologically, to keep my stress levels down. So to me, this is just kind of affirmation that all of that is working and coming together. And I do take a ton of antioxidants as well. So this, I wonder, is kind of a contributing factor to potentially my biological chronological age. So I kind of want to do a little bit of a reveal here of what my biological age actually is. So da-da-da-da. And Grant, I'd love for you to expand on why my actual age, I'm 35, but my biological age is 26. That's 9 years younger. Yeah. I have also done a second biohacking test, and it did show a younger age as well. So this isn't just you guys. This is another test that's shown that too. Can you walk us through how you actually measure biological age?
Yeah, absolutely. But you're definitely living the dream. This is what we all want to shoot for, right? Because there's this idea that, you know, our chronological age, that 35 is kind of our fate, is our destiny. But we've learned that, in fact, you know, it's not. It's more about this concept of our biological age, you know, the function activity of our cells and our tissues and organs that, you know, may be aging quickly or more slowly. And ideally, we can maintain that function that we have in our younger years for as long as possible. Kind of, you know, you hear a lot about squaring the curve. It's the idea that we can live longer, more healthy lives. And then ideally we're healthy, healthy, healthy. And then we just kaput, we expire and we're done. Instead of this, hey, we have our healthy years. Then we kind of go through this stage of, you know, we hit our 50s and 60s. Now we're going to live our unhealthy years, be really limited in the activities we can do, be debilitated, and then kind of live this like kind of tapered off life and then we die. What's great about this is it's, you know, it's not just the fact that, oh, wow, your biological age is 26 versus your actual age. It's actionable, right? We can say, you know, if we were to come in and look and you were actually your biological age were 40 or higher, we can come in and say, hey, you know, there's room for improvement here. And it's never too late through nutrition, through the diet, through the microbiome, through supplementation, really stop or reverse this biological age to restore function and really age more gracefully, right?
What this tells me essentially is that all the stuff that I talk about here is working. All the biohacking stuff that I'm doing is working, reducing my stress levels, oxidative stress. One of the markers that we know that can be really helpful in understanding someone's age, chronological age, aging process is telomere length. Now, does Viome look at telomere length? And how really do you come up with this score?
Well, there's papers to explain it. It gets into some proprietary realms, but really it's a combination of your cellular activity, those transcripts, and the microbiome activity. And using both of those, the machine learned model, the AI, will take that, compute it, and calculate your biological age.
Right. So we're taking our population and we're looking at everyone who's, you're 35. So we're looking at women who are 35. And we're saying, what are the typical signatures in their microbiome and in their human gene expression? And some of those may be telomerase and, you know, their cellular stress pathways. So what is that typical signature? And then we compare you to other groups. So do you fall in 35, 36? And for you, you're falling right in line with 26-year-olds. So congratulations. That's so great.
Yeah. And that's actually after two pretty brutal car accidents and like sprained ribs, sprained pelvis, concussion situation, stress with that. So Katie, I know that, you know, you are the biohacking extraordinaire, professionally trained journalist here. I'd love for you to switch gears into our next question for Hillary here.
Yeah, I guess I would love to know, you know, I've done a lot of tests out there, a lot of at-home tests and in-lab tests. What really makes Viome different from kind of all of the other options that you might have on the market?
Sure, it's a great question. So Viome is really the most comprehensive, personalized, easy to use, and affordable test kit on the market. It's really comprehensive because we're collecting your stool and your blood. We're measuring that, and we're measuring the RNA in it. We're not looking at DNA like most tests on the market are doing. What's interesting about that is your DNA isn't going to change throughout your life, whether you're sick, you're healthy, you're dead. It's always going to be the same, but your RNA is what's going to change. That's what's going to tell us your actual state of health. So we're looking at hundreds, maybe even thousands of pathways there. So it's extremely comprehensive. Our results and recommendations are very personalized. You get a diet plan in your app, like we saw before, your superfoods, avoid foods, that's all personalized for you. It's not a fad diet telling you what that, you know, everyone should do. It's exactly what you need for your microbiome and for your human body, your host gene expression. And then it's also what's also personalized is our supplement program. We have been selling precision supplements for just about a year now. We've just celebrated our 1 year anniversary. And our precision supplements are completely custom made for you. They're blended by our manufacturer and shipped straight to your home. They are 8 capsules a day in a little sachet like this, and a stick pack with your pre and probiotics in them. So completely personalize your formula. No one else has this formula. It has exactly the dosages that you need and exactly the ingredients that you need. So it's easy to take with you on the go. You don't have to have hundreds of bottles. Us biohackers, we know what that's like, right? So it's just stick it in your pocket and go. And so easy to use. You guys know it's just easy at home. Stool test, little finger prick, little bit of blood, and you get your results now in about 1 week. So we're at I think 8 days turnaround time you get your results. So we're really happy about that. And I think it's really affordable too. And I know you guys are offering a coupon code, so make sure you guys check that out.
That's awesome. And Katie, I know you've taken some of them in the past. I'm really looking forward to really using the pre-probiotic sachets and precision supplements myself, and then retesting and seeing what's going on there. Let's see if I can get down to 25. I always joke, this is a mindset thing. This is really interesting. I always joke I'm turning 25 again. So we have to be very careful with the words that we choose when we're talking about our body, mind, spirit, and energy, because things can actually manifest, and I'm pretty darn close, and we're to get there. What do you think, Katie?
I mean, yeah, I'm going to just manifest that I'm going to be a 15-year-old again. Although I don't know if that's even physically possible. Like, how low can you really go, right? I don't know. That anyway, I guess I would just love to know if you guys can potentially tell us about, like, some of the stuff coming down the pike. I heard stuff about an oral microbiome test, like, a year and a half ago. Is there any truth to that? Not to put you on the spot, but just curious, like, any new developments that we can look forward to in the new year?
Yeah, absolutely. So we are shooting for the saliva test to be available early next year. So that's going to be measuring your oral microbiome, your oral health, and some other biomarkers associated with your oral microbiome. So it is coming. Thank you for your patience. I think we got set back a lot with COVID, but we're grinding. It's coming.
That is very exciting. I'm so eager to try that. I know there's a lot of correlations made between oral microbiome health and some other, aging related chronic diseases. And so I'm very excited to see kind of what the insights I get from that are.
Yeah, it's really kind of counterintuitive, right? This idea that the microbes, you know, we're fairly desensitized to the microbes in our gut, but the idea that these microbes in our oral cavity can influence things like our blood pressure, our heart, you know, cognitive function, and then even cancers, right? We got FDA breakthrough approval on our oral cancer and throat cancer detection. We can actually, through microbial signatures in the saliva, predict, if you're on this trajectory towards oral cancers. It's amazing.
This is incredible stuff. I feel very privileged to be living in 2021, 2022. Yeah. Like, this is a cool time, right? Like, we didn't have this kind of stuff even 10 years ago. This is revolutionary. I am first to sign up for that microbiome test of the, oral cavity, because I think that stuff is absolutely fascinating, especially if you have a genetic history of some of those cancers in your past. Like, I think it really will make some more people eager to kind of get tested earlier rather than later.
Yeah, I find this whole concept of testing for our ideal foods kind of a no-brainer, because dealing with skin and aging, I get asked all the time, Rachel, what's the best diet for acne? What's the best diet for hyperpigmentation? What's the best diet to slow aging? And it's not actually any one diet. It's really following what's right for you and what's going on with your body and your epigenetics and all of that. So I'm a huge fan of recommending Viome to anyone who's wanting to clear up their skin, clear up brain fog, and really get some detailed metrics that you can test again and again, like what we did going through our results, Katie and I. That was a lot of fun. And then seeing how we're living our lives and if it's making us older or if it's actually, in fact, helping us age backwards. I know that that's kind of like what everyone fears is aging. But at least if we could slow it down, then we can, have some fun in this meat suit of being a human. So do you guys have any closing words for today?
No, just thank you so much. I'm so grateful for your time and pleasure to meet you guys.
Yeah, thank you guys so much. I'm really happy you guys took the test. Your scores look great. Keep up the good work. And thank you for having us on.
Thank you. And thank you for, like, it's what a privilege to have the two of, like, the top people at Viome, like, walk through our results side by side. I am blown away. And I really thank you guys for your time, your service, and what you are doing in this space, because it's truly remarkable.
Thank you, Katie.
Personally, I feel like the information we get through our downloadable reports are fantastic, so that lay people can go through it, or if they want to download it and share it with their practitioner, that's also an option too, which I think is great. And just to give reference for price point, these test kits are like $250 to $400 now. To do food sensitivity testing before with a practitioner would be about $2,000 to $3,000. You'd have to have your initial consult, then you'd have to pay to do the test, then you'd have to do follow-ups to interpret your results. So really, Viome, you're empowering humanity right now to pay attention to their health and their metrics. So I just think that this is great. And thank you to everybody for joining us today. And to learn more about today's episode, you can go to beautyinthebiohacker.com/blog and get your Viome Health Intelligence test kit. Check out the probiotics, precision supplements. It's like basically a whole bunch of vats, and based on what your metrics are, the ingredients are made to order, and use promo code B&B. All the information you'll need is going to be in the episode show notes, and share this episode with a friend or family member that you think could benefit from some tips for food and aging and inflammation optimization. And thanks everybody for hanging out with us all here. It was great to connect and meet you, Grant and Hillary. And it's always a pleasure connecting with you, Katie. Hope everyone has an awesome day.
You too. Thank you, Katie. Thank you, Rachel.
Yeah, such a pleasure. Thank you, guys.
Thank you guys so much for tuning into Beauty and the Biohacker today. If you enjoyed this episode, please make sure to leave a comment or share it on your social media account, and we'll give you a shout out. And don't forget to head over to beautyandthebiohacker.com to check out all our episodes and our favorites page, where we include our curated list of products with special discount codes just for you guys. And while you're there, sign up for our newsletter, because we're sharing some exclusive content and giveaways you won't want to miss.